Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, a wonderful approach. This is your host, Mama Seven, and it is Friday. It's a lot of things today. It's Friday, it's day 12, yo, we're in double digits, how about? It's the day that God has made. It's spring, although it feels quite chilly. I'm in South Georgia and it's cold, so I know all my northerners. I'm sorry. I'm just so sorry. So hopefully we're going to get that springtime to come in and stay in. Hopefully, we got to find out. But today is a day that we should be excited about just because it's a day that God has made. It's a day for us to kind of review where we are in our life, review where we are in our understandings of God, review where we are, you know, just as children of God, you know. And so we'll spend this time getting ready for Friday and then getting ready for fast days, but also understanding that when it comes to the work that we have to do for God, we have so much to do. There's so much available for us. And so, you know, no one should be bored in their study. You know, there's so much for us to be working on and practicing on. Really, we don't have time to get bored. We don't have time where, you know, it's like, oh, I'll take a week off of God. What? Oh, I'll get back with God after the summer. You know, that's like saying, you know, I'll get back to breathing after the summer. You won't have it after the summer. You know, a lot of times we want to put God off. You don't know what blessings you could be letting go of, you know, and letting go of for real. You know, and they say, okay, what's for you? You'll always have, blah, 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 blah. I get it, but there's certain things I want while I'm young and able to enjoy them. I don't want to wait till I'm 70 years old to have certain things, you know. The enjoyment of it is not, you know, I don't want to find the best thing in the world and then I have about 20 days of real good life to enjoy it. No, I want to get it now. And wanting for things now and having things now, sometimes sacrifices are necessary. I understand that. You know, that's what this whole month is about, creating a sacrifice for God. You know, this gets us in a habit and in a practice of making these very important sacrifices for God. We're already ready. We're already lined up. We're doing the things that God would wish us to do. So as we move forward, as we're, you know, getting all our good stuff lined up, we have to make sure that we're doing what we need to do. It's real easy to sit back and point at the world and say, hey, you need to do this and you need to do that, when we haven't done the work ourselves. You know, at a wonderful approach, we say, we start with the man and the woman in the mirror. We have to make these changes first because we understand that we're the leaders and we have to be that example. And we are always trying to work on being the example, always. We're always trying to make sure that the light that we project, honest one, is a sincere one, is one that God would be pleased with. You know, we got some parameters that we have to meet. And if you don't follow these parameters, you are, as 1 Corinthians says, you are like a clanging gong. You know what a clanging gong is? It's a very big cymbal. It makes a big noise. But it's a noise, you know what I'm saying? We don't want to be noise. We want to really be impactful, positive, wonderful opportunities for people to see what God can do for us. So I don't want to be a clanging gong. If I sound like a gong to you, let's make some adjustments. You know, I shouldn't sound like open air. This isn't background noise. This should be words that you can take and you can utilize in one way or another. And that's what we're looking for. That's what we're trying to achieve during this whole month. 30 days we have decided that we're going to allow God to be the steering wheel as he should. God is, and then once you allow God to be the steering wheel, then you'll realize he is the entire car. The moment that you let him, the second that you put God in the right place in your life, you will realize he is everything. He's not just the steering wheel, but it takes you getting to that point in your life where you will allow him to steer for you to realize he is the whole orchestra. He's not the conductor. But this is a process. You know, I have been studying God for many, many moons, and every time I study, I learn something new. And don't think I'm retarded. Don't think that, like, oh, she must not be paying attention. I pay close attention. I make notes. I write journals. I write books. I do all this. And I still am learning about God. And every time I do, it just absolutely blows me away. Sometimes I'm reading. Sometimes I'm meditating. You know, sometimes I'm learning and speaking with someone else. And when I hear God speak and I hear God working, it just amazes me. It humbles me every single time. And you would think that you would get accustomed to this energy being there, or you get accustomed to God showing out, but it's so amazing that it will really stop you in your tracks and be like, look at God working. Look at this miracle coming about. And because I look for the miracle, I find it. I see it all the time. It makes me smile. I feel honored that God would give me the ability to see all these beautiful things going on at once. You know, I give God praise and honor, gratitude, appreciation for me being able to see that work, he's still actively working. Just because we don't document it in Bibles and, you know, Qurans and Torahs anymore doesn't mean that that work isn't still going on. You know, I don't know who said to stop documenting. You know, why don't we have all the work that God does? How in the world can you think that will fit into one Bible? You know what I'm saying? All the work, the Quran would be from the floor to the ceiling if we had properly documented all that God has done. This is a living God. So that means that work is still going on. You know, I just have to say that because I don't want people to think that this is some ancient tradition. No, this is now. God is here now. So when we read the stories, in my favorite story, Jonah, you know, I have a couple of favorite stories, and Jonah's pretty high on my list. And so when I read the story of Jonah, which happened, you know, eons and eons ago, I wonder who is going to be the next Jonah. Who's going to have the next test, the next trial and tribulation, and we're going to have to learn the lesson of being obedient to God? Who is that? Okay? So before it was a big whale that swallowed Jonah, right? What if the whale is now what? Facebook. You know, what if we have something else that will swallow you whole, take you in and leave you in the dark? You know? So just because we're not documenting it in those ways of thou, those, and these, doesn't mean that this isn't still actively going on. So I just look, and I look for it. I look for the lesson. I look for the blessing. I look for the miracle. And I see it all. I see as much as my eyes can see. You know what I'm saying? I would be crippled and crazy if I were able to achieve, if I were able to see all of God's blessings and works in just one day, let alone years. Oh, no. No brain can hold that. Spirit can hold that. In fact, you know, we have, you know, hundreds and thousands of angels, and all of the angels together are still not holding all that God is, right? So I just wanted to let people know all of this is still actively going on. Don't think this is an old situation. Don't think this is an old God. This is a God that's here right now, still making things happen, still working in the positive, and we're blessed for it. We're blessed for it. Okay, so we're going through this devotion, and the devotion is, you know, the book of devotion is to help keep us on track and also to get us to work on different subjects as, you know, we need to. In this particular subject today, being obedient to God, you know, it's easy and then it's impossible. You're like, how can it be both, Mama Seven? It is. It is. For me, it's easy to see. I can see it easy. I know what we're supposed to be doing. I know how we're supposed to be achieving this. You know, God, all of these wonderful holy books that I was just talking about, they're like blueprints. God has made great information for us to know how we're supposed to be moving and what we're supposed to be doing. And I'm thankful for it, right? We also have intuition. We know in our spirit what is supposed to be occurring. Many times when I'm doing readings, a lot of times they're like, oh, yeah, I knew. I know. That came up in a dream. Oh, they spoke that over me when I was a baby. Oh, this, and this. Yeah, okay, great. That's because within us is our own little calculator. Within us is our own understanding. So we have a good idea as to what we're supposed to be doing, how we're supposed to be moving with God, right? So being obedient to God is something that is naturally put inside of us, something we're supposed to be following almost intuitively. But this world will have us minimizing our God. This world will have us putting God in our cute little boxes. And, oh, this is where I want my God. I want my God to start on Sunday morning about 6 and end Sunday afternoon about 3 or 4 before I go out to the sports board to watch my football. And I'm like, okay, so you want to stop breathing at that time? No, I want to keep breathing. Oh, so you still want the benefits of God, but you don't want to do the work of God. No, I not that I just want the benefits, because really when you say it like that, you're like, you know, that's not what I want. I always want the benefits. Okay, well, always keep your God with you. Always act like your God is with you. Would your mouth be saying that? Would your actions be doing that if you really had God with you? Would you still be operating in the mode that you're operating if God were sitting right there beside you like, really, daughter? Really? Really, son? Is that what I trained you to do? Is that what I told you to do? So being obedient to God, like I said, is easy. You have the information. It's hard. You're like, it can't be both. It is. Because God has also given us the great gift of free will. That means the work that we do for God, we do because we feel like it. And I say it with a question like, do you really feel like it? You know, the work that we do, we have a choice to do it. I remember speaking to God maybe 5 or 6 years ago, back when I had made a decision that this was all I wanted to do. Back when I made a decision, I was like, okay, you know, this is everything. I'm giving God everything. Because I had a relationship with God, but it wasn't a full relationship. I was good with God as long as he was good with me. I was good with him as long as he was saying the things I wanted him to say. You know? The sun's chirping. I got that, God. I'm good. Okay, I'm going to need you to move. Move what? Wait a minute.
move how? How am I going to move? Move where? Oh, God, we got to talk about this. You see what I'm saying?
There came a point where I was like, okay, I don't even want the choice anymore. I just want to do what you said. And I give all my free will back to you, God. I'm going to make that choice every time anyway. We'll go ahead and give it to you. And the angel that I was speaking to said, it doesn't work like that. I can't just make a blanket giving back to God. God wants me to give it back to him every single time, individually, not out of obligation, but out of just desire, out of my desire to please him, my desire to be a better woman, my desire to be a better mother, my desire to be a wife, be a better wife. See? I have to do it every single time. That means every time I have to think about the sacrifice I'm making to be this better person. And now, 5, 6 years later, I understand why. Because if you do the blanket, then truly you're like a child. You follow, children are supposed to follow as their parents lead. You know, they don't think. You know, it takes a minute for them to start to think about their actions, think about the consequences. You know, they just know, you know, I got to clean my room, brush my teeth, go to the bathroom, eat food. That's it. And so that's not showing maturity. That's not showing actively making the right decision. That is strictly following. And that's not what God wants. God wants you to make the right choice. Because, and I understand why, I do. When you're making the right choice on a little thing, that helps you to make the right choice on a big thing. When you make the right choice, you know, when you understand how to be obedient to God, you'll understand some of the decisions that God has asked you to do. I have had to communicate to people some harsh realities. Harsh. I've had to tell people, no, the relationship you're in, that ain't the relationship for you. What? That's horrible. And before I was like, oh, my God, how can I say that? I've had to tell people, the relationship that you're in that you don't like so much, you got to stay there. What? I have rights. I don't have to do this. That job you thought you loved so much, you dedicated so many years to and stuff like that, that job ain't for you. That's not what God wants you to do. You're supposed to be serving this or serving that. It's hard, family. It's hard. And I've sat there and I've watched people, you know, kind of struggle. I'm like, oh, my God, how hard is it to struggle against doing what God says and doing what you think you've built your life around? How hard is that? But I'm telling you, being obedient, I mean, I've had to make what I call U-turns. I don't like U-turns. Oh, my goodness, I do not like U-turns. You can get me to do it, turn left, turn right, that's fine. Go back for what? Why did I do something wrong? No, you didn't do something wrong. But your exit's on the other side. You gotta turn around. I gotta go back for what? You know, I used to. I'm gonna cut off game strong. You know, saying I'm. No, you gotta go back. Go back. Why? I need you to go get one of my lost sheep. My lost sheep's about 2 miles back that way. I need you to go back. Well, God, I don't like that sheep. I didn't accidentally leave her. I left her on purpose. God, you want me to go back? Yep, I want you to go back and get her. I want you to go back and make her comfortable, put her in the car, and bring her to me. You need me to do that, God. Ain't nobody else. Ain't no other Ubers on the other side of the road. No, ain't no other Ubers. I need you to go ahead and you turn yourself around and go back and get my sheep over there. It's not always easy being obedient. It's not always easy following what God has asked us to do. I'm just telling you the rewards are there.
the benefits are there, the blessings are there. And sometimes God is telling you to go back to get a sheet also helps you avoid this traffic jam in front of you. He's going to reroute you so that you can be better and safe and everything else like that. So I say that to let you know, not only does being obedient help us in our relationship with God, it can also help us with some pitfalls that we don't have to take. Some things we got to learn. Harsh, hard, whatever, we have to learn them. Other things we don't have to take on the chin. We took that lesson on the chin because we were being hard-headed. We took that lesson on the chin because we thought we knew more than God. Imagine that. I just said my brain couldn't record all the events and blessings and everything else of one day. 24 hours, my brain could not record all of the events that God made. How in the world am I going to do that for a lifetime? How am I going to do that for the history? How? You can't. You cannot. So I say all that. I share all that. You know, just to let you know that being obedient to God is hard and easy at the same time. And so don't be surprised if you go about it and you're like, wait a minute, this is easy. I got this. God's on my side. I got all this. And then don't be surprised when you turn around and you're like, whoa, God, you're really stretching me on this one. You know, and one thing about God, I strongly suggest that everybody just do it. Just do it. Just work at it. You know, you never know what's going to happen. You never know the blessings that are going to come about. Blah, 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 blah. You know, that's my philosophy for myself. But I tell people, God is so great. He will listen to you. God is so great that he will listen to those trials and tribulations. When you up here worried about, well, God, is this going to work? God, is that going? God will listen to you. That's how much he loves you. He don't want you to have confusion. God is, well, you stop that car. You drive and you stop the car. God, we got to talk about this. The last time I went and picked up that sheet, it bit me. Now we got to talk about this, guy, because I want to get bit again. Okay? Last time I did this, guy, someone took advantage of me. They used me. They made me feel bad, God. Now you want me to do that again? And God will sit there and he will console you. God will give you the tools that you need to do the job that he's asked you to do. Any job, any job that God has asked you to do, he's also giving you the tools for it. Okay? Trust and believe. Sometimes you got to look for them. Sometimes the tools may not be in the traditional sense that you thought they would be. You know what I'm saying? If you up here looking for a hammer and a screwdriver and the tool is some extra patience, the tool may be, oh, I got a financial blessing last month. I didn't know I was going to need to spend it on this. The tool might be that somebody will call you and give you some encouragement, give you just enough strength to keep going in this fight, right? So God's going to give you the tools, whatever you need, to do what he has asked you to do. So I doubt and fret not in my ability to be obedient, okay? So this is not a conversation about ability. Fingers and toes, got that all day long. God has given me the ability, or he would not have asked me. What this is a question of your intent, a question of your desire, a question of your obedience. Following the order. You have the strength to do it. That's not even the question. Are you going to do it is. I remember, you know, time warp. Good grief. Okay. So it's time for prayer. I want to thank everybody for getting this Friday in with me. It has been absolutely wonderful. This is one of my topics. This is my thing, being obedient to God, because I've seen the blessings come from it. I've also seen a couple booty pops when you did not move fast enough, okay? So I always want to encourage you, you know, whatever you have to do, pray about it, sleep on it, whatever you've got to do, whatever you want to call it, do it so that you can move forward in good graces. And when you can't move forward in good grace, have that conversation with God. Call a powwow with your little guardian angels. Sit down and have a drink and a smoke with your ancestors and say, yo, has anybody else had to do this? Has anybody else had to be obedient to God? So your ancestors can line up and tell you, we all have had to be obedient to God. We all, from back in the day, from being on that boat, from surviving this atrocity, to living in Jim Crow, to 2021, oh, we've all had to be obedient to God. That's how you got here, because we were obedient. Now you line up and do the right thing. So it's been a great show. I want to thank everyone for tuning in. I want to encourage those that have the book. Come on, come on, come on. Read the book and do the exercises. The book kind of goes into a little bit more detail as far as, you know, some of these topics and what they mean to us. You know, and I always want to make sure to be very honest and realistic. I'm not going to tell you being obedient to God is easy. I'm not going to tell you that, you know, you won't have trials and tribulations in it. I'm not, I told you, Mama Seven will never lie to you. Never. God is not pleased with lying. I won't do it. So I have to tell you the truth. But I'm going to encourage you to go ahead and do what God asks you to do. Because there's definitely a sense of pride and accomplishment and a victory in doing what God has asked, you know. And think about it. The things that God asks, they're things we need anyways. They're things that we're supposed to be doing. So the fact that God has to ask us sometimes, I'm like, oh, God, I was getting right to that. I know it looked like I was stalling. I was installing God. I was getting right to it. All right, so today, day 12, we go into one of my favorite Bible stories, and that is the parable of the lost son. And we're not going to have time to go through all of this, but it's a great story because it speaks about the young being young, speaks about elders, true elders being elders, and it speaks about family. So if you get a chance, the parable of the lost son, that story is so important that I've had the boys enact it as a play. You know, we have made this into a visual art. So I'm going to do the prayer, just a simple heart prayer from my heart, okay? Father, Mother God, please guide us on our way. As we come before you humbly, please allow us to survive this day, to be aware of our shortcomings, to give us strength when we need it. God, please allow each and every one of us on the phone line and those that will listen later to be your friend and have a friend, to know that God is always with us. God would never leave us. God wants good things for us. God wants us to live this blessed and abundant life. We have to do our part to line ourselves up with God's wants and wishes. We line ourselves up with his desire. We line ourselves up with understanding the types of things that please God and to work hard at the pleasing of God, okay? These are things that we have to do that are our responsibility. God, a personal request, I ask all those that are part of A Wonderful Approach, may they be given the strength to shine a beautiful, positive light out into the universe. Allow them to understand what their responsibilities are. Allow them to understand that you have put them in a high position and that they have to act accordingly. I ask these in your name. Amen.